Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. These are the words of Christ. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the seas and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. And that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm sure to you it looks like being a pastor is a pretty good gig. The fancy sports cars, the mansions on the hill, the exotic vacations, you name it. But sometimes being a minister is kind of tough. Like take today, for instance. The world is in the full Christmas spirit. The carols are playing, the Christmas trees are coming out, our mailboxes are being filled with flyers, office parties are taking place, families are getting ready for the coming holidays and the festive season. And here I am, a preacher, who's going to talk about the coming end of the world. Nations warring against nations, mountains falling into the sea, brother against brother, husband against wife, nuclear holocaust, you name it. Not a great position to be in. Here we come to the first Sunday of Advent, and there's not a shepherd, or an angel, or a manger, or a donkey, or a bright star in any of our readings. Instead, we have Christ talking about his return. A return that will not look like his first entrance into the world. A return that will not be marked by stables and bands of cloth and shepherds and angels singing hallelujah around the crib. A return that we are told that will involve, literally, an escalation of war and violence, of nation against nation, of portents and signs in heaven, of oceans roaring and mountains collapsing, a destabilization of our life. Not something we want to talk about. Not something that we probably take seriously. Not something that we think about. And certainly not something that we would wish upon ourselves or our children or any generation to come after us. For who amongst us would want to live in a war-torn world? Who amongst us would want to live in a society ravaged by natural disasters? We have a pretty good living here in our Western Hemisphere, here in North Battleford. We have the rule of law. We have access to education. We have a charter of rights and freedoms. We have access to health care. We can drink freely the water out of our taps. Our grocery stores are filled with foods. We have central heating and plumbing and air conditioning. We have democracy. For billions of people in this earth, those blessings, those joys, those reliances are not real. They live in a land that experiences this mini apocalypse of Christ. They live in a land where a warring tribe can come with machetes, kill the men and boys, and ethnically cleanse the women. They live in a world in which they watch their children die of cholera and malaria. They live in a world where there is no water, there is no food, there is refugee camps and there is violence and there is warlords and there is no education or democracy. They experience the lands of famine and floods and earthquakes. They live these words of Christ. And to them, Jesus brings a hopeful word. To us it sounds like a word of warning, but to them it is a word of hope for those currently going through these trials and tribulations. To them, Christ says, look to the heavens. Do not be scared. Know that I have a plan for you and know that you will be victorious. That in my coming and in my return, things will be set right. You will not watch your children die. You will not watch your women hauled off by war camps. You will not experience inequality and sickness and poverty and famine. You will experience creation as it's intended. It's the good news of the gospel. It's true for our lives now. We may have all those blessings I listed at the beginning of this sermon. Democracy, education, health care, clean drinking water, immunization, you name it. But our lives are not perfect. When the doctor diagnoses us with cancer, when we find our marriage crumbling, when we are laid off from our job, when it seems that our lives are falling apart, when our mountains are cracking, when our waters are roaring, when it feels like our lives are destabilized, when we lose that which we have depended on, our health, our security, our job, our love, whatever it may be. When we lose these things, when we are faced with this apocalypse of our own being, when we are shaken to the core by our natural lives, do we have the fortitude to hear Christ's words, to lift our heads to heaven, and to recognize that God is with us? This is the Christmas miracle, that God came into the world to subject Himself to our lives, that ours is not a distant God or a foreign God or a God million of light years away, but ours is a God that has walked as us, that has cried like us, that has been hungry like us, that has been poor like us, that has suffered like us, and that dies like us, so that one day we too might live like Him. That we might be rescued by the Father, that we might taste life eternal, that we might know the Holy Spirit, that we might have a relationship with our Father in heaven. This is the great news of our faith. This is why in the first chapter of Matthew it says, Jesus Christ shall be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Whether our nations are falling apart, our governments are falling apart, the rule of law is falling apart, or our personal lives are falling apart, our jobs, or our marriages, or our finances, or our security, do we have the fortitude to look to the skies and see God with us? To see God rescuing us, and to see God saying, none of this is permanent. None of these things control you, or own you, or bind you, because I have a larger plan for you. The plan of salvation. I can save you from these things. It doesn't mean we don't go through them. It doesn't mean we don't go through bankruptcy. It doesn't mean we don't go through divorce. It doesn't mean we don't go through chemotherapy, just as Christ went through all these things in His time on earth. What it means is that through these things, through these trials and tribulations, when others are grief-stricken, when others are given to panic, as the Scripture says today, when others are fainting out of fear, as Christians, do we have the strength not to lose hope? Do we see God with us? Do we recognize that none of these things, all temporal in nature, all part of this earth, that none of these things will hold us, claim us, or terminate us? That we will move through it all. That like Christ, we will come out of the empty tomb of whatever is holding us down. Whatever is keeping us in the bondage of sin. Whatever is holding us to doubt. Thinking we see no way forward, we will come from the tomb and we will be victorious like Jesus who came before us. And that's good news. It's good news to people in Somalia. It's good news to people in Asia Minor. And it's good news to people in North Battleford. No matter what kind of lives we live. Lives of prosperity, lives of peace, or war-torn lives of poverty. We all need to rely on the love and word of God. For all of us are given to the realities of the natural world. Realities of scarcity and disease and loneliness and doubt and despair. And when those times come, when others around you are running around saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We can't go on. There's no way out. Do we have the faith to stop, to be still, and listen for God, and look for God, and experience God? As we move forward to Christmas, look for God. Look for God in your life. Don't look for God in the department store. Don't look for God under the Christmas tree. Don't look for God at the holiday party. But look for God in your life. Freeing you. Coming to you to liberate you from the things that you feel there's no escape from. Feelings and sickness and doubt and despair. Ask yourself how Christ with you makes a difference. Ask yourself, how is God liberating me from these things? Ask yourself, what does Christmas mean? If Christmas only means an event that happened 2,000 years ago, we've already lost, because that time has come and gone. But if Christmas means a relationship and acknowledgement of a living God, a present God, a blessing God, a saving God, a caring God, then that's a miracle we can celebrate. That's a miracle we can look forward to. And that's a miracle that draws us to salvation. Amen.